a lot of times people objectify groups, whether they're racial groups or whether they're just groups that get together for social action, or whether they're even corporations or governments. And we kind of tend to speak of them.
Corporations and governments are objects, by the way.
How can they be?
Because actually, they don't even exist, actually.
They're all made up of people.
But there's a difference.
How is there a difference?
Because they aren't people. A corporation is not a person except legally. Anybody want to get punched? I punch you. You know, that hurts. Corporation, I can't punch them. I can't beat the hell out of them. I can't shoot them.
Exactly, and that's why there's no way that you can change a corporation. The only way you can change a corporation is to change the individuals within the corporation.
Oh, it's more difficult than that. Okay, this is really good. I'm so glad you brought this up. Ruth Benedict tried what?
Anthropologist.
Yeah, the anthropologist Ruth Benedict. I said anthropologist. That's E.O. Wilson is the anthropologist. The anthropologist Ruth Benedict tried to figure out why some cultures are fundamentally good, to use her word, some are bad. What that means is some are very warlike, some are very peaceful, some treat women very poorly, some treat women very well, some treat children very poorly, some treat children very well. Some, they're very happy, and some, they need a lot of Prozac. So she's trying to figure out why the distinction. And she came down to one simple rule, which I always thought the patriarchy was the root of all evil, but it's not. It's only the root of like half of all evil. The other half is this Ruth Benedict thing. She started studying. Is it house size? Is it matriarchy? Is it matrilineality? Is it size of the culture? Is it geography? Is it race? What is it? Why are some of these cultures this way? One simple rule. It's so obvious. The cultures that were happy and peaceful and everything else, it was because their social rules rewarded behavior that benefited the group as a whole. And what?
What an amazing idea.
I know. And it discouraged behavior, or prohibited behavior that benefited the individual at the expense of the whole. Everybody gets all hyperactive about selfishness and altruism, and people are always going to be selfish and blah, blah, blah. Well, duh. What you do with that is you make selfishness and altruism identical. And the way you do that is by making it so the most selfish thing you can do is give things away. And the way you do that is by socially rewarding. It all comes down to how the culture handles wealth. That if the culture handles wealth through what she calls a siphon system, where wealth is constantly siphoned from rich to poor, everybody is secure. There's no competition. It works. And if, on the other hand, it's handled in a funnel system where the wealth always goes to the rich, it's going to be a dog-eat-dog society. It's going to be all fighting for the resources. I go fishing. I catch a whole ton of fish. I give everybody in the room the fish. And you all say, oh my god, Derek, you are so cool. I can't even believe how cool you are. You are the man. And, you know, you carry me around on your shoulders. And I give all the fish away because I know that tomorrow somebody else will catch a fish. It's not like I'm going to go hungry tomorrow. Tomorrow you catch fish. And what's your name?
Bria.
We go, oh my god, Bria, you are so cool. You are the woman. You are the one. And so we all carry you around on our shoulders. We go, I can't even believe it. She is so amazing. Did you see all those fish she gave away? She gave away more fish than he did. Yes, he's kind of a jerk. On the other hand, if I don't give everything away, like there were some Northwest tribes that would put a shaming pole in front of your house if you didn't share. And so they put this pole there, and then everybody walks by and goes, oh, that is such a jerk. The Xhosa, South Africa, what they would do is anybody who didn't share the meat that he caught, they would share it until it was like little bitty bitty, you know, just like one bite. And anybody who didn't do that, everybody else would laugh like a hyena. And it would, yeah, it worked. So my point is that corporations are the reification. Reification means that you take an idea and you make it real, you make it tangible. Corporations are the reification of greed. They're the reification of acquisitiveness. And one of the problems with them is because they're not mortal, they can never be satisfied. They're hungry ghosts, to use Buddhist terminology. That's a big, big problem. They're immortal, which scares the hell out of me. Because if you've got a bad guy, he's going to die at some point. We are social creatures. What you are rewarded for, you will do, as in general, not individually, but as a whole. If you reward accumulation, see, here's the thing. I can solve all of our problems. You know, we talk about campaign finance reform. That's all bullshit. I can solve it all in 1 second. Okay, what we need to do is we need to make it so instead of one person, one vote, you get one vote for every one over your net worth. So if your net worth is $1 million, you get $1 millionth of a vote. if your net worth is a dollar, you get one vote, because it would delink those forms of power. And if that doesn't work, then what we need to do is spit on everybody who's rich. And then if that doesn't work, there's always dynamite. But my point really is, the reason that we're killing the planet is because everybody in this room knows the name of Bill Gates, but nobody in the room knows the name of the people who live under the bridges in Seattle or under wherever. Oh, there's this great line, Judge Thomas Mellon, 1860s. In the Civil War, you could buy your way out of the draft, as opposed to today, when you can't really buy your way out of the military. I've always loved it. Jack Kemp, it just kills me. You know, Jack Kemp got a physical, what's it called when you don't have
a deferment?
And he went on to play professional football. It's like, go figure that one out. Anyway, you could simply pay. It was a much more direct system. All you had to do is pay $300, and then somebody else would take your place in the draft. And huge riots over this. This one, Judge Thomas Mellon, Judge was his first name, his son was getting a conscience about this. He's like, I feel really bad. His father sent him this letter, this great letter, saying, there are ways that one can be a patriot without risking life and limb. There are plenty of other lives less valuable. That's it, right there. So long as Bill Gates is worth more, as long as his life is worth more than the life of the person under this bridge, we're fucked. And so long as the life of a human is worth more than the life of a salmon, not individually, but as an aggregate, we're just as fucked. That's a different way of saying the same thing. It's setting up this one apart from everybody else.
You know, I like the way you talked about Microsoft, because you talked about Bill Gates, because he's the one that can control Microsoft.
So but he can't. He can't.
Yes, he could. If we could change his consciousness, that whole corporate structure would change.
Well, I think the shareholders are turning suing. Suing for not pursuing profits.
He has a fiduciary responsibility to maximize profits. Yeah.
I don't know, because I think if those shareholders see it, they'll say, well, I'm going to sell my shares to somebody else. I'm going to get out of this. And only the people that agree with Bill Gates in his new consciousness would support it. And so I very strongly believe that corporations can't change until we can change the people that make the decisions for those corporations.
I strongly feel that so long as someone is heading in the right direction, I'm not going to impede them. And I'm not saying this sarcastically on the side. It's going to sound sarcastic. I don't mean it sarcastic. So if it comes across that way, I'm sorry. Because I mean this honestly. If that's how you feel, what you should do, honestly, is attempt to work in that direction. I don't feel that will work. And so I'm not going to work that direction. I think corporations need to be eliminated. It's like shareholder resolutions.
I want to know more about your point of view, because I feel like that's the direction I'm going.
First off, there's shareholder resolutions. I support shareholder resolutions a lot. I don't think they actually do any good, but I still support them, and I work with activists who work on them all the time, but they ain't gonna stop. I got two problems. One is, you know, J.P. Morgan died. J.P. Morgan, Morgan Stanley still exists. So you can change Bill Gates, but say the corporation of see, the problem isn't even corporations. The problem is the underlying urge that creates corporations. It's crazy. Jimi Hendrix could not have emerged out of the 1920s. You can safely say that. Picasso could not have emerged out of 12th century Normandy. You can safely say that. Lao Tzu could not have emerged out of, at the same time period, the Middle East. Jesus couldn't have emerged out of, you know, whatever. We can clearly see that artistic forms are manifestations of cultural desire. Picasso may have existed in the 12th century, and everybody got, what the hell's that?
It's like a tree falling in the forest.
Well, I don't like that metaphor, because when trees fall in the forest, there are plenty of people around here. This might not be human. Yeah, it would not be received. But we somehow fail to see that Weyerhaeuser, Plum Creek, all these corporations are, in a sense, pieces of art. They are manifestations of cultural desire. Yes, I think we need to strike out corporations. You think we need to change Bill Gates' heart. Beneath both of those, I think, is the fact that corporations are manifesting what our culture rewards. They're simply means to facilitate behavior. And what they are, actually, also, is they're the institutionalization of irresponsibility, because they're limited liability by definition. And they're the acknowledgement that our economic activities have gotten too big to maintain control of them. I don't like the language maintain control in this case, but they've gotten too big for that. The first limited liability corporations had to do a lot with the The railroads were some of the first big ones. What they were was an acknowledgement, because limited liability, their actions were so potentially negative that nobody had the ability to take care when they screwed up. And so what they did is they made a legal fiction that facilitated that behavior. Instead of thinking, we might not want to have economic behavior that's so big that individuals can't take care of it. In the aftermath of Bhopal, one of the things that Warren Anderson said in his own defense is, how can you possibly expect for us to take care of operations all over the world from our headquarters in Danbury, Connecticut? He was using that in his own defense, but the truth is, it was a tremendous indictment of the whole system. A lot of us anti-government, anti-corporate activists like to rail about this isn't a democracy, and of course in a very real sense it's not, but in a very real sense it is. A, it is in the Greek sense where the democracy was based on slavery of others. In another sense, people are not fighting, people are not rebelling. Here's my answer, right here. Can you believe that people pay for water? Can you believe that? It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. If we don't rebel while we're having to buy water, we ain't gonna rebel. But I tell you what, raise the price of gas to $12 a gallon, watch the fun begin. Or here, cut off TV. Oh my God, cut off TV, it's all over. There's blood in the streets the next day. What do we really value? You know what really breaks my heart? I love it. Well, DH breaks my heart. Designated Hitter Rule of Baseball breaks my heart. That's another deal. I love baseball, but it breaks my heart that when we get rallies together to try to do something for salmon, we're lucky if we can get 20 people. And there's 50,000 people every goddamn night. It breaks my heart.